Hey everyone, before we get going today, given the topic of the sermon and all, I thought it best to start out in a posture of listening. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you prepare your heart and your mind and sit with God for a moment? Ask him to speak to you right now. And then I want you to just sit and listen. No talking to him, just listening. I'm going to give you a minute. Ready? Okay, so how'd it go? What did you hear? Were you able to discern God's voice? Side note, I stopped at 45 seconds because I could just feel the uncomfortableness of the silence rising up in the room. I think most of us would probably say no. Now, full disclaimer, I totally set you up for failure on this. You came in unprepared. You didn't have space to prepare your heart or fix your mind on Him above. Your mind was probably still all over the place, 15 seconds in, and for some of you, your mind went to thinking about all that you had to do today. Maybe it's cutting the grass or that item that you need to add to the grocery shopping list, where you're going for lunch. Some of you had like one eye closed and one eye on the kids, because let's face it, 1 minute of a parent's eyes closed is the ultimate kid's playground. For those of you watching at home, 1 minute and your kids could have cut their own hair, cut the dog's hair, cut their sibling's hair, drawn their version of Van Gogh's Starry, Starry Night on the wall, and TP'd the entirety of the inside of your house. For those in person at one of our locations, those kids could have come up on stage, tested out every single known instrument up here, spilled the contents of their snacks on the floor, and turned this place into a track and field for the Olympic trials. But for others, it was recalling the conversation that you had last night, or the one you have yet to have, the work week ahead, or that thing that's been consuming your every waking thought. Hence why you've been staying so busy to begin with. Because if you stop, you have to be in silence with yourself. Your thoughts. And for some of you, that inner voice can sound much more like the inner critic. It's like turning on your car and no matter what button you hit on the radio is tuned or programmed to, it's the same frequency that you can never escape. For others, your mind is the exact opposite. It goes so fast, it's like you're constantly hitting the scan the channel button, just long enough to hear 5 seconds worth and then on to the next thing. Soundbite, soundbite, soundbite. I think we can agree that we have just been so programmed by this world, become so conformed to an earthly kingdom of life at warp speed. Think of what all the internet and cell phone service providers flaunt in their advertisements. We now live in a world of 5G, where connectivity is king and the faster I can download and keep going, the better. And while there are promises of AI and self-driving cars and telemedicine and the benefits that accompany them, there are actually trade-offs. Without losing you in the weeds of the electromagnetic spectrum, allow me to summarize. Because there are cons to the faster speeds of 5G. You see, 5G is offered in like three different parts of this spectrum. Low band has a slower speed, but has a broader reach, which means that carriers can leave distance between the towers that they use the equipment for. The problem comes when you increase speed. You see, top speed signals are less reliable over longer distances, and are easily disrupted by obstacles like trees and people and even rain. So to combat this, networks are going to have to deploy like huge numbers of smaller access points throughout our cities, a monumental task in and of itself. I mean, let's not even get started on what they're going to do about our rural areas, or the fact that only, listen to this, 2% of Americans with cell phones can take advantage of the top speeds of 5G. You see, speed comes at a cost. A connectivity cost. And the perception and presumption is that if we increase speed and efficiency, our lives will be easier, safer, and healthier, and more connected. And just when we as a society were at breakneck speed, thinking that we were more connected than ever before, enter COVID. All things halted. Whether you or I liked it or not, we were forced to slow down. Isolated, distanced from loved ones, gone remote, and with it a myriad of hard and loss, pain and suffering, claiming connectivity through screens, whether they were computer or through the front door. We are a year and a half into this thing, and I've been reflecting a lot recently on all that has transpired. If we as a society claimed that we were more connected than ever, Why then have we seen and experienced the level of heartache, divisiveness, loss, bickering, and infighting? He said, she said, they said, cancel you, cancel me, finger pointing and name calling, social media trolling and ranting than ever before. People claiming that the fabric of our country is being ripped apart at the seams. And to be honest, in my humble opinion, it's been pretty exhausting to watch it play out, especially among those of us who claim Christ as our King. But what if the fabric of our country has always been frayed and tattered? It's just that we were moving too fast to see it. I wonder if the same thing could be said for the fabric of our souls. Now listen, I'm not advocating that we go back to horses and buggies and abandon cars and airplanes or even go back to dial-up internet, because speed has been liberating and transformative in so many positive ways. But at one point during this pandemic, each and every single one of us, if we're being honest, realized this truth. The pace of our life was brutal. Some of us were addicted to it, a runaway train with no way to stop. And the most damaging of all is that the speed of this world has also robbed us of the depth of connection that our souls were created to have with God and with those in our communities. We just didn't get it or knew it until it was taken away from us. That's why I was so fired up for this series on prayer, because I knew we desperately needed it, you and me both. So what have we learned thus far? Well, I think we've come to see that prayer is a deep, nourishing relationship with God, a time to connect with and enter into the very presence of God. We have learned that if we take the time to dwell on an attribute or a quality of God, or use the Psalms to increase our vocabulary of who God is, and the ability to tune our hearts into God to exaltation, we've learned that we were created to regularly commune with Him, to be persistent in coming before God again and again and not giving up on our relationship with Him. And as we come before Him persistently, our greatest need, we come to find out, isn't the one that we were asking Him to answer. It's our recognition that our greatest need is God Himself. And I believe to the core of my being that we have an opportunity that God has given us to finally get Him, to connect with Him at His speed, before the RPMs of this world redline again. And so today I want to focus us on the aspect of prayer that I believe is the hardest to do at the world's speed, but so readily available to us if we are walking at God's speed. And that's listening. Because what God says to you in prayer is far more important than what you say to Him. Which brings us to our big idea today. In order to listen to God, you must first be willing to hear from God. Now, we'll unpack that in a second, but I think it's good to start with what listening prayer is. On the outset here, I just want to recognize the two pieces of work that were incredibly helpful in informing the content for today's message, and, might I add, immensely helpful resources for you to look into as well. The first is Rich V. Viodas' book, The Deeply Formed Life, and the second book, Tim Keller's book on prayer. Tremendous insights. Okay, listening prayer, what is it? In basic terms, listening prayer is a practice of focusing your attention upon God's presence and the space you share with Him. And this can happen anywhere and at any time. You see, it's a surrender of your words to be present with the Word, Jesus. In other words, listening prayer causes you to lay down your preoccupations to focus the ears of your heart and your mind to the presence of God and the relationship He is inviting you into. Because remember, prayer is centered around the idea that God wants to be in relationship with us. And prayer is one of the main ways to stay in communication with Him. All right, everybody have their Bibles ready? We're going to do a bit of jumping around today, so make sure you put your listening ears on. That one was for you, Pastor John. All right, and full transparency, I don't want you to think I'm an expert on this. I am not. I'm just willing to talk about how I've tried to go about doing it and what I've heard and learned up to this point in the journey. But hear me on this. I know in the deepest parts of your heart that you want to have a deeper relationship with Him, to hear from Him, to recognize His voice when He talks, a sound that makes your skin tingle, your eyes water, and your heart dance. And I'm here to tell you that not only is that possible, but I know for a fact that God desires for each of you this morning to tune the ears of your heart to Him and listen, which means that we should probably start with how He speaks. So to begin our framework, it makes most sense to start in the beginning, like the very beginning. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It reads this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We only get two verses in, and do you catch the power of God's voice? He speaks something and it happens. Let there be light. And then there was light. And here's it. Here's the crazy thing. Each day starts out with the same phrase, and God said, and then it happened. But that's just the beginning, you say. What about the rest of this book? Do you know that the phrase God said is repeated over 1,200 times throughout Scripture? The phrase, thus says the Lord, 417 times. And those were just the top two phrases I searched. So I think it's safe to say God is not a silent God. So would you push back against the lie that he is a God who just sits on his throne disinterested in you? You see, the God that spoke at the beginning is still speaking today. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 with me. It says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Let's stop right there. You see, he conversed directly with Adam and Eve, walking about the garden with them, and told Adam that a Savior would come from the seed of the woman, Eve. Then spoke to Abraham and told him that the Savior would come from his seed, specifically his son Isaac. Then God spoke to Jacob and told him that the Savior would come through the tribe of Judah, one of his 12 sons. Then Noah, who received blueprints to build a boat. And then Moses, uniquely, first through a burning bush, and then on a mountaintop covered in clouds and accompanied with thunder and lightning, and then in a tent. You see, each of them at one point caught the voice of God and recognized that it was like no other. And as it says, he spoke through the prophets. You see, God spoke to David and told him that the Savior would be born of his house. God spoke to Micah and told him that the Savior would be born at Bethlehem. God spoke to Isaiah and told him that the Savior would be born of a virgin. And don't miss this. The prophets were the mouthpieces of God, and their words were not the production of their own spirit, but came from the Holy Spirit, as emphasized by Peter when he wrote, "No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." You see, they were a vessel for the voice who spoke the world into existence, all culminating in the Word walking amongst us in the very Son, Jesus. So why go to all this trouble? To remind us that everything God spoke of in the Old Testament via man and his prophets was through the mediator of his Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was on earth, everything God spoke came directly through Jesus, who had the Spirit of God residing upon him. And it's the same Spirit that Jesus said would be poured out upon each of them after his death and resurrection. Listen to Jesus describe the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. He says these words. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Did you hear those action verbs? Guide, speak, declare. And look how similar the phrasing of the words used to describe how the disciples spoke is to how God spoke. Acts 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Acts 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, let me remind you this morning that you have the same Holy Spirit residing inside of you. Because as Peter says in two verses later, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To each of you who have given your life to Christ, the very same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, resides in you. And this same Spirit that speaks now, he speaks just as much now as he did then. And I imagine that many of you are saying, well, if God is speaking to me, why can't I hear him? And my answer has less to do with God and more to do with you. You see, your ability to hear him is based on your proximity to him. So my question back to you is, how willing are you to address the barriers that exist in your life to get proximal to him so you can hear from him? Are you willing to adjust the pace and rhythm of your life? Much like 5G, the faster you go, the less connectivity range you have, interrupted and distracted. Are you willing to come to church every Sunday? Get in the Word daily. Make joining a life group a priority. Are you willing to turn off the temporariness of the TV and tune in to the source of eternity? You see, every answered no influences your proximity to him, your ability to hear him. How do you expect to recognize his voice in the ways in which he speaks? I mean, church, I promise you this. He is desperate for you to hear him. Remember our big idea. In order to listen to God, you must first be willing to hear from God. So what does that willingness look like? Well, it looks like creating the space in your life to make him priority. It looks like taking time to slow down, to Sabbath, and maintain healthy rhythms of life. Give me one look at your calendar, and it will show me how willing you are. You see, it looks like getting into his word, the very words of God, daily. It looks like surrounding yourself with godly men and women who God can use to speak to you because, like we just learned, they have the Holy Spirit residing inside of them just as much as you do. And it looks like getting alone with him, less about opening your mouth in prayer and more like opening up your ears to listen. So we know God speaks via the Holy Spirit. So let's cover three of the ways in which the Spirit speaks and some practical how-tos that accompany them. This by no means is an exhaustive list, because God has demonstrated throughout Scripture that he can speak to us through worship music, creation, he's spoken through dreams and visions, he's been known to write on the wall, and he's even been known to speak through a donkey. So, we're only going to cover three of the ways in which God speaks and some how to practice each one. We ready? Here we go. Practice number one, listening to God through his word. This is the primary way God speaks to us, which means we just can't read this thing like a textbook. You see, Paul tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God. This is why we call the Bible the Word of God. So before each time I read, I simply say something like this. Good morning, God. Thanks for another day. Would your Spirit speak to me and help me hear what you desire today? It's really that simple. And then I'm intentional with writing down a phrase or a word that he gives. But remember, he desires a continual conversation with him. And so I take that phrase with me into the day. I meditate on it. You see, when we meditate on Scripture, we don't just read it and move on. We listen intently and think about what the Holy Spirit is revealing and reminding us of through his word. A really good way to do this is to take a verse or two of Scripture and use it as your ongoing meditation, asking God to simply illuminate what it means to your life and how to apply it. So I'll write it down, and then I just ask God to show me, to speak to me through the filter of this verse, kind of like glasses. And so I'll try to get away for 5 to 10 minutes in the middle of the afternoon and walk and just listen for his reply with that verse playing in the background of my mind. I've been doing this with the same verse for about the last year, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And God has been slowly speaking to me, revealing ways in which the world has conformed me. And in the process, I've not just heard, but I've actually listened and obeyed. And hear me on this, gang. When we do that, like when we take it from hearing to listening to obeying, his word begins to take root in us and it changes us. But it's taken a willingness on our parts to hear from him. Remember our big idea. In order to listen to God, you must first be willing to hear from God. So I'm super intentional with blocking that space in my calendar, taking that time and not skipping it. There's also this amazing app called the 1 Minute Pause app that allows you to set up a healthy pause moment in your day and reorient your mind and your heart and your soul back to God with a truth from Scripture. Because we all struggle taking time to pause and quiet ourselves to hear from him. So just consider this as just another resource to aid in that. And I know that this practice of listening to him through his word is one of the big reasons why I feel that I've been able to hear his voice speak to me through the other two ways that we're about to cover. Okay, second practice is this: listening to him through others. You know, God has given certain people spiritual gifts of teaching and prophecy, exhortation and wisdom, so that he could communicate his truth through them to us. So he will often speak through a sermon or through a reading a book. But just a word of caution, there are plenty of great teachers and preachers out there. But if you're spending more time listening to sermons or podcasts by Piper and Keller and Shire and Copeland, Chandler and Furtick and Sanford, than your own time in the Word, you are in a dangerous place of elevating them to an authority in which is only meant for God alone. So just a word of caution again. Make sure you are testing and confirming what they've said against what Scripture says as God's word commands us to. Another way you will hear from him is through a word or a message from a Christian friend or even in a life group. Now, it could simply be a text saying from them saying, "Hey, God placed you on my heart and dot, dot, dot." I've personally experienced this more times than not, and I'm typically overcome with emotion on how God could have spoken through another that has lined up with something he had placed on my heart previously. I just think of what would have happened if they didn't follow through on what they had heard from God. I've seen powerful moments in life groups that I've been a part of where someone's heart has been gripped by a word spoken by another, where a moment of conviction or confirmation has happened. This is why it's so important to have a trusted community that can help you affirm something you have felt God speaking to you. That's the body working the way a body should and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does best. This is also one of the primary ways to see patterns. You see, because if the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention to something, he will more than likely do it in multiple ways and at different times. So writing it down and keeping track of those is super helpful in categorizing them because you're going to see a pattern develop. And can I just say this? If you're not in community here at Grace, you are robbing your soul of the connection it was created for. You see, we were meant to be together, to build one another up, not be alone or self-isolated. Consider the fact that you very well may be the catalyst for the transformative power of the Holy Spirit to move through his church. So stop believing the lie that you are insignificant. The last time I checked, the God of the universe isn't in the business of making insignificant. That thought rails against the truths of who God is. You see, God might be wanting to use you to confirm what someone has heard from him directly or through other people as well. So gang, act on those impulses. Be intentional. Send that text, make that call, visit that person. While it will benefit the recipient, it will also benefit you in knowing that God speaks to and through you, all for his glory. And you know what? It will also increase your level of awareness of his voice the more you listen and act on it. Don't discredit God. Don't discredit what God wants to speak and who he speaks to. Remember, the Holy Spirit resides inside you, and he directly speaks to you, which brings us to our third practice. Practice 3, listening to him in the silence. Now, initially, I had the phrase, directly to you in prayer, but resisted because we must remember that prayer is this ongoing communication with God, and to limit the times we can hear from him is to limit the unlimited. You see, God is speaking all the time. So if he is speaking all the time, it would make sense to start with him before my brain, my pace of how I think the day should go, well, goes and is off and running. Now, you might be a night owl and do this at night. But in either case, having a plan, picking a place, and a time are incredibly essential. So before I grab my phone or tune into some program, I tune into him. And that's very intentional. It's like a picture of a dry sponge. You see, I want to saturate my mind, my heart, my soul with him first, so that it minimizes the amount of absorption that can take place from the world. So in addition to my time in the Word, I make it a point every morning to start out in silence. And I adopted this approach after hearing a message from Mama Maggie Gobrand at a global leadership summit back in 2011. And what she said really gripped me and sank down in the deep recesses of my soul. This is what she said about the power of silence and how she goes about it. She said this: silence your body to listen to your words. Silence your tongue to listen to your thoughts. Silence your thoughts to listen to your heart beating. Silence your heart to listen to your spirit. Silence your spirit to listen to his spirit. In the silence, you leave the many to be with the one. Powerful. So how does that play out? Well, for me, it's something like this. It typically starts with a posture that I take. Whether laying on the ground or kneeling, I relax my body and put it in a posture of surrender. Silence your body. Then I get my words out of the way, any praise, any confession, any supplication that's left over. Silence your words. Then I invite all the thoughts and mental distraction to enter into my focus. Picture the old school inbox and outbox bins on a desk. It's a quick process, I promise you. I literally visualize a piece of paper with the words of that distraction being placed in the outbox bin for later. One by one, from right to left, in the outbox for later. Silence your thoughts. Then I just focus on listening to and feeling my heartbeat. Silence your heart. And then I focus on my breathing, the rhythm of it, and I simply say with each breath, speak, for I am yours. Listen to his spirit. And then I just sit in silence. Does he speak all the time? No. But I promise you this, the benefit of being silent in his presence is more than enough, because his presence is enough. And because of what I've experienced, I've made it a point to try and replicate this in the rhythm throughout my day. It doesn't take as long as you think once you get accustomed to it. And here's a secret, and I think you know this one too. Your soul is craving it. You see, your soul was created to connect to a pace of peace, not chaos. I love how N.T. Wright puts it. He says this, "It is only when we slow down our lives that we can catch up to God." It's amazing what God will do with a spirit that is willing to hear. You know, we have a family we are pretty close with here in Erie. And a couple weeks ago, the husband or father was about ready to go through a major open heart surgery, like major, cut open, all that kind of stuff. And in different times and in different ways, this guy's name was being brought up to my mind in my silence with God. And the simple phrase was this, pray for him. And so because I knew I was preaching a sermon on listening, I would stop and do that. Not kidding. Well, on the eve of his surgery, I had a long day in the works and wasn't planning on being home until after 8 that night. But about midday, wouldn't you know that during an intentional pause moment in my day, a phrase came flying into my mind again, but this time slightly different. And it said this, go and pray with him. Honestly, it was a long day and I knew I was gonna be exhausted, but I couldn't shake the feeling. So around 5 or so, I texted him to ask if I could come over after I was done here at the church and pray with him. He, of course, said yes. So I got there around 8:30 and I talked with his wife, met with his parents, and said hi to their kids. I asked them all to kind of come in the same room and I said a couple of words to them and I prayed. Nothing overly eloquent, to be honest. And really, honestly, I fumbled through some moments. But I do remember praying specifically for each of them, their kids, his wife, and then focused my prayer over him. And then I finished and I said goodnight. I actually walked out and sat in my car, kicking myself for not coming in a bit more prepared because I just felt like that moment fell short. So I drove home and exhausted and I went to bed. Well, the next day, wouldn't you know, about midday, I get a text from him while they're driving over for pre-op in Cleveland. And he texted these words to me. He says, "So last night, when you called on God to protect me, I got hit with a wave of heat that started at the top of my head, shot down through my body, and momentarily disoriented me. Then a wave of calm. Whatever that was, thanks, my friend." My response with tear-filled eyes was simply this, "That, my friend, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God." And please don't think I'm always on. I'm not. But I can promise you this, that I am more willing to hear from him the more I experience stuff like this. And guess what? so can you. All he asks is for you to seek him with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your strength. That's what willing to hear looks like. Then, only then will your ears be tuned into the frequency of God's voice. And so we're going to practice that right now. So I want you to close all your books, turn off all your phones, and allow me to walk alongside you through this process. So here's what I want you to do first. Just simply close your eyes. Now, put yourself in a posture of surrender, whether laying on the ground or kneeling or sitting with your hands with open on your lap. I want you to relax your body and put it in a posture of silence. Silence your body. Now, get your words out of the way. Any praise, any confession, any supplication that's left over. Silence your words. Now, invite all the thoughts and mental distractions to enter into your focus. Picture the old school inbox and outbox bins on your desk. One by one, from left to right, visualize a piece of paper with each one of those distractions being placed in the outbox bin for later. Silence your thoughts. Now, just focus on listening and feeling your heartbeat. Silence your heart. Lastly, listen to your breathing, the rhythm of it, and simply say with each breath, "Speak, for I am yours." And then listen to his spirit in complete silence.